My name is Seneca Malone. I was wrongfully convicted in 2008 for homicide, and I served 5 years, 4 months.
Hi, I'm Brooke, and you're listening to Actual Innocence, a podcast bringing awareness to problems in the justice system. I'm all alone today. So Marco and I have been struggling to get our schedules together, so we kind of divided and conquered this week. You're going to hear me talk now, and at the end of the show, and during the ads, and you're going to hear DeMarco do the interview. I hope you enjoy. Thanks.
Can you tell me a little bit about your life growing up?
Well, I was born in Chicago. I was born in Chicago, Illinois, and I got three other brothers by my mom. So at the time we lived with my mom, and we all was young at the time. And my mom, she moved from Chicago to Milwaukee because she wanted to change her life, and she got into church. I was about probably like 5, 6 years old. Like I said, I got three other brothers, two older ones and a younger brother. But we all like 2 years apart. So I moved from Chicago to Milwaukee, but at the same time, I still have family in Chicago and all through Illinois because my dad's side of the family too, which I grew up on my dad's side of the family. My mom moved away from everybody to Milwaukee. She got into church. So I used to go back and forth as a kid from Milwaukee to Chicago to do my mom and dad growing up. But I would say I mainly as a teenager in high school, my high school years, I grew up in Milwaukee Southside. I grew up playing sports, basketball, and football mainly. I played in high school. So that's pretty much how I grew up.
Were you and your siblings close growing up?
Well, yeah, I was pretty much close. I got brothers and sisters. I got two brothers and two sisters on my dad's side of the family, and I got three brothers on my mom's side. So I always had a relationship with them all, though. But I said, growing up, I was more close to my my brother who my mom.
All right. What was your life like before you was falsely accused of crime that you did not do?
Well, before that happened, I had lived in Illinois with my dad. And that was a hard time for me at the time, so I ended up moving to back to Milwaukee. And then I was in the streets basically going house to house at 19. So it was like a bad time in my life. I was 19. I don't know, I fell into the wrong crowd in the streets, and then I don't know.
Did you graduate from high school?
I graduated when I was in prison. Matter of fact, I graduated in 2010 while I was in prison. Office assistants and computer literacy. I did vocational classes too while I was in there. I was in 12th grade, but I never finished high school while I was in the street.
It's time for our first sponsor. When I first tried Sugar Bear Hair Vitamins, I thought maybe I had accidentally gotten candy. And even now, a month later, they still taste amazing every time. Picture any celebrity with amazing hair. You can bet they have a stylist who clued them in to Sugar Bear Hair. Sugar Bear Hair is a bestseller on Amazon with thousands of rave reviews. It tastes like sweet, delicious candy made with the juice of real berries. They contain everything you need for stronger and healthier hair. Sugar Bear Hair has as much vitamin A as 4 cups of broccoli, as much vitamin C as 1 cup of cranberries, and as much vitamin B12 as 4 organic eggs. Sugar Bear Hair fans also found their nails and skin quality improved over time because of the nutrients. Go to sugarbearhair.com/actual for beautiful hair and a healthier you. That's sugarbearhair.com/actual. sugarbearhair.com/actual.
Can you help me understand, like, what happened with your case and what was you charged with? What was the crime?
Well, in 2008, a man was murdered, and a lot of people got questioned about it. And so, I knew him well, actually, but at first, I had the paperwork. This I found out through my, like, when I got charged and arrested for the case. I got my discovery. I read that he was questioned about it, and he was telling the police, like, he didn't know nothing. Like he was confused and everything, like, why they even questioned him. And they came and got, like I said, they questioned me. They questioned a lot of people about the homicide. This happened, like, the homicide had happened over 2 years before a lot of people started getting questioned about it. And then I was one of their questions, so I was confused too, like, why is y'all, like, who even burned my name? And it's like, why was y'all even questioning me, you know what I'm saying? But they didn't tell me until a couple of days later when they held me. And some dude that I knew, he told the police first in the paperwork, he said he didn't know nothing about the case. But then they held him for a couple of days, and then he came over the story and told the police that he seen me do this. He said we was walking, or he said we was walking by a friend's house or whatever, and he seen some dude, and then he asked him for a cigarette or something. And he said he's with me, and then he said him and the dude down in school or whatever, and I shot and killed dude. That's what he told him in the paperwork. And then, so they brought that to my attention, what he said, and I was like, hell no. I was like, in my mind, I'm like, hell no, like, that never happened. So I never believed. I thought the police was just making up some stuff because they trying to get me, they thinking that I knew something about it, so they was trying to get me to talk about it. So they brought that up, saying what my guy said, and I was like, hell no, like that never happened. Like he said what we did the whole day before the case happened, like before he said accused me of the case, he said he was with me basically the whole day, what we did, me and my friends' house leading up to that. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm reading all this in the paper. I'm like, man, hell no, like y'all lying. He never said nothing like that, because that never happened until they cuffed me and put me in the county and charged me and said a bail is like $5 million. That's what they told me. Like $5 million bail, whatever. I was like, yeah, right. I was like, hell no. I was like, man, this ain't real. Like hell no. Like, based off of what? Like, I was confused. So I tried to think of somebody I could call and see what's going on, some people I know from the outside, see what the hell is going on. So I knew one person number, so I called my guy. So I asked him, like, I was crying, man. Like, I started crying, though. Like, I was in the booking room. Like really, though? Like who brought my name in? But I remember the statement they told me, but I never listened to my guy because I thought it was fake. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, man, who really accused me of this, though? Like, You know what I'm saying? So, and my guy, he snapped it on the phone, like, he's going crazy, like, tripping. No, I'm tripping, but my guy is just going crazy, like, I mean, this is BS, man, like, we all tripping out. And I go to court for preliminary hearings.
Excuse me, let me intervene. So you telling me that the crime happened 2 years before you was arrested for it or questioned for it?
Yeah, a little over 2 years, yeah.
You was questioned in 2008, so the crime happened in 2006?
2000, the NH, it had been December 05, the crime.
That's a long time. I just don't understand how, you know, they went over 2 years. So how many people did they how many people did they even investigate or accuse?
Oh, no, but I know they questioned like a lot of people. Then they showed me like a lot of photos of people that I might know. You know what I'm saying? So that's what they basically probably was doing, like showing people photos, people that they know in the area, whatever, and then they know them, they question them, you know?
And you said you knew the victim, right?
No, I never even knew the victim. I didn't know what he looked like or nothing. I didn't know what he looked like or nothing.
Damn. So when they arrest you, what?
That's the most crazy part about it, the whole thing. I didn't even know who he was.
Yeah. When they arrested you, did you ask for a lawyer when they questioned you?
No. I asked for no lawyer because my whole mind was like, what's going on? Like, I ain't really had nothing to say because I didn't know what the hell was going on. So, you know?
Did they offer you a lawyer or a public defender or anything?
They might have had. That was a while ago. They might have had at the time.
And how long was you in the county jail?
Well, I was held on questioning for like 3 days. I was held on questioning for 3 days. But then I was in the county jail. And I never got out. Ever since they locked me up for questioning, I never got out until 5.5 years later.
Oh, okay.
I got convicted and all that.
Yeah. Did you have a paid attorney?
Nobody. Public pretender.
Public
he didn't
pretender.
Do nothing. Like, he didn't even do nothing, man. Like, he didn't even send a private investigator for my case or nothing.
Did you have an alibi?
Like, at the time, because we got questions. Like I said, the homicide happened like over 2 years at the time, so they picked up a specific day dude got killed, and I didn't even know who dude was, none of that. So I couldn't say what I did, what I was doing a random day over 2 years, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I couldn't make up no stuff like I was doing there. Like, I couldn't make up nothing because I didn't remember what I was doing at that time, because that was over 2 years ago when they questioned me, you know?
What evidence did the DA use to convict you?
Because, when I went to preliminary hearing, one of my guys, he came to my court. He came to my court and made a scene. He made a scene like y'all got the wrong, but like he's like y'all got the wrong person. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he went to the witness room, everything, like he snapped out, you know what I'm saying? And so he tried to leave and they arrested him, but the DA, he burned that up, that's my friend. And so just because when my guy did what he did, the DA burned that to the judge's attention, They record. They had our phone call recorded, and my guy, he was like wild out on the phone, like talking. But they just trying to paint a picture, man. That's all they really tried to do. or based off of nothing, you know what I'm saying, or what they thought it was, you know. So since my guy came to my court and made that scene, the DA, he asked the judge, can he take away my phone call, my mail, my visitation during this case while I'm fighting this homicide I don't know nothing about, you know. So the judge granted. So they put me in a hole through my whole case for like 6-7 months in a hole with a public pretender.
And that's why did they do that? Because your guy was acting up in courtroom?
Yeah. And then they try to say conspiracy to intimidate a witness or something. What he did. So they put that based off on me. So that was my guy. They took away my mail, my visit, put me in the hole through my whole case. So I got railroaded and convicted. And then they let me out the hole after I got convicted. I lost trial.
So while you're in the county, how did you feel? You knew you was innocent. So did you think you were going to beat the case?
Man, I was in a hole, man. I was messed up, man. I ain't going to lie, man. I was in a hole. Can't talk to my family, man. Just think about that, man. No, you know, for something you didn't do. And you're in a hole. Can't talk to your family. You know what I'm saying? I was messed up, man. But at the same time, I was hoping they'd figure it out and throw it out. I was hoping that, you know what I'm saying?
Did you have any support team that believed that you was innocent?
Yeah, but at the same time, I couldn't talk to nobody, you know? I couldn't talk to somebody, and I had public defenders. He wasn't talking to my family, or like I said, he never even hired an investigator, you know what I'm saying? A lawyer for to have a private investigator on a homicide case, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that had to have been hard. And you was 19 at the time of your arrest, right?
No, I was 22. Yeah.
Man. So once you was found guilty, how did you feel?
Like shocked. Like, but I seen how the trial went, though. That it was bogus, man. It was bogus. They went. Oh no, man! It's just like I said, the DA, the prosecutor, he like, I don't want to give him credit for nothing because if you ain't got no good attorney, he would get over. You know what I'm saying? So he painted a picture for the jury with no, it wasn't no evidence at all. He just painted a picture of what happened. You know, so because of his statement. The dude, man, you know what I'm saying? So he just painted a picture, and I ain't had no attorney to contradict that statement, to prove that statement was a lie, like the innocence probably did, prove that statement was a lie. I didn't have no lawyer to do that, so he wasn't, you know, he didn't do nothing. Like I said, he didn't even hire an investigator, he didn't know nothing. Like, he worked for them, basically, and they painted a picture, and that's how I lost the trial.
Did anybody testify on your behalf? Anybody?
No. I told you, I told you, during my whole case, I was in a hole. So, it's like, I could talk to my family and say, get a hold of my lawyer. Or this. They didn't know who my lawyer is, because my lawyer never talked to my family. He never contacted my family or nothing.
Did you testify on your behalf?
No.
Did you want to testify?
But I was not really, because they would ask me where I was at that time of the day. You know what I'm saying? I just saying, like, oh, I was there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's 2 years. Don't nobody remember what they were doing 2 years.
On a random day, like, we just say somebody got killed on this day, and you know you had nothing to do with nothing, but where was you at? You know what I'm saying? It was over 2 years ago. Like, I just can't just say, oh, I was there on that day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's one of them situations.
Did you have family at your trial to support you?
Yeah, I did.
And how much time did you get once you was convicted?
I got sentenced to life in prison, eligible for parole on my 70th birthday. And I was 23 at the time. I turned 23 in the county, like through the whole case. I turned 23. And when I was sentenced, that was the exact words the judge said. And I was in my mind, I was like, hell no, like, I didn't feel it, man, because I was like, I didn't do it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really didn't feel it, man, because I was like, I didn't do it, man, like, this ain't true, like, you know what I'm saying? And he asked me, do I got anything to say? I said, I'm putting his case. I said, I didn't do this crime. I said, the trial, like, was all bad, a bad trial. Like, he said, well, you lost trial, so I got sentenced you.
Here's our last sponsor. Have you ever thought about staying home from work just so you could wear comfortable pants? Well, you're in luck, because I'm going to tell you about Beta Brand Dress Pant Yoga Pants, the most comfortable pants you'll ever wear to work. I have a pair of bootcut dress yoga pants, and it even has a faux zipper and buttons along the pockets. Real pockets. It's soft and comfortable, so I feel like I'm wearing yoga pants, but they're work appropriate. I get tons of compliments on them from my coworkers, and the kids I work with comment on how much more active I am in my dress pant yoga pants. It makes the workday more comfortable, and that's important when you're trying to do your best. And that's why I started wearing Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants. Visit betabrand.com and use my code ACTUAL to get 20% off yours. Millions of women agree, these are the most comfortable pants you'll ever wear to work. That's Beta Brand, BETABRAND.com, and use my code ACTUAL and get 20% off your dress pant yoga pants.
What was prison life like for you?
I just followed my appeal hard. I got the innocent project on my case, like, within, like, I say, a few months. It took me a few months to get the innocent project while I was in prison. So they're working on my case right away. They have to do my case right away when they see what happened. So they have to do my case right. So I know I had them. But at the same time, like, I went to school. Like I said, I went to school. I got my HSCD. I did office assistance, computer literacy, vocational classes. I was a tutor for math. I just did stuff to, like, occupy my time, take advantage of what they had in it. I played basketball. They had basketball league. I played basketball league, played softball league. I just did stuff to occupy my time, you know, keep my mind on situation.
I can dig it. I definitely can dig that. How did the prison affect?
Because I looked at it like, if I'd be all sad and sick with and depressed and stressed out, I would make my time worse. And I knew I had a chance to get out because I had the energy project. It made me feel confident. You know what I'm saying? I let them know how I felt. We had a good relationship. You know what I'm saying? And I knew I was innocent, so I knew that they could prove that. You know what I'm saying? So I just felt real confident. I feel like that wasn't my time. The time the judge said I had, I feel like that was a lie. Honestly.
So you believed you was going to get out, right?
Yeah, I just didn't know when and how long it was going to take, basically.
And did you get any visits while you was locked up?
Yeah, I did. I got a lot of, I got some visits. My family, my girl, my ex.
So they stayed by y'all, by your side for the most part?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, you lose some people during that time, you know? Everybody not going to be there for you.
And how did the Innocence Project get on your case? Did you write them or you reached out to them?
I did reach out to them. I reached out to them, but at the same time, I got to say, you get it. When you do an appeal, they give you an appellate lawyer. And the appellate lawyer that got me, his brother worked in the Innocence Project. He told me, you better off having them take the case. They can help you better than he can, you know what I'm saying?
Did your appellate attorney, he believed you was innocent? Is that why he said that it was better off for you to have the Innocence Project take your case?
Yeah, he believed I was, but at the same time, he knew that that'd be the best route to go, you know? because of the Innocence Project, they got like a, it's a group of people on my case, like law students and all that, you know.
And you was gone for 5 years, right? How did you
find 5 years and 2 months?
When you found out that, you know, you was getting a new trial, how did you feel?
I was happy, of course.
And you was about you was about 27 at that time, huh?
That happened at 2012. So I was like 2012. I'm 85. I'm getting old, man.
Yeah. That was my biggest thing in prison.
I was 27. Yeah, I turned 28. Like a couple months after I got out. In 2013. So yeah, I was 27.
Hey, one of my biggest fears was to die in prison. Did you ever like, man, I don't want to die in prison? Did you ever think those type of thoughts?
I never thought about like, of course we do, like, especially if you like in a cell by yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially when I was like in a hole, like probably my case, and you think about, you just think about a lot, man. Yeah, I thought about that, but I think about if it was to happen, you know what I'm saying, what would I do, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think about stuff like, I thought about it, but it probably crossed your mind, but if you ain't got no time for the thing, you know how that is.
Yeah.
You be in the cell a lot, you just thinking, mind thinking, you think about a lot of stuff. Different scenarios, you know.
When you was granted a new trial, you went back to the county jail, right?
Yeah, I got it. I went back to, I was in the county when I got granted the trial. When I went to my hearings, the judge, he granted me my own trial, but he even said by an attorney, the judge that I had for my appeal, he was a different judge that I had for my trial. He was a different judge. But he said a lot of evidence based on my behalf that wasn't presented at my trial, but it was in front of him. And he even said the public defender I had did a lawful job, my case. He was incompetent for the case.
What evidence did they use to get you back in trial, to get you a retrial?
Because they used that the guy, my accuser, they put his statement as a lie. They questioned people that he said, well, we was there and all this. He even said he got a haircut outside in the winter in like 10 degree weather on the floor. He got a haircut. He even said a whole bunch of crazy stuff like that they believe. And they proved all that stuff was a lie. And they questioned everybody. They looked up his background and showed that he got caught with a gun before. Questions for the shooting before. They bring up all his background, like, you know, and then they basically try to switch the case on him and say he's capable of doing this case. He's fine because his background. Well, that helped. So they use that.
So when you went back to trial, you was released from the county jail?
No, I went back to the prison to send all my stuff out, like my property and stuff. Because I basically going back to the county, start all over. I still had a high bail, so I just transferred back from the prison to send all my property stuff out and to go through a procedure. And I went back to the county to fight my case all over, basically.
And where were you released from?
Oh, the county.
So you went to the county, went back to prison, then went back to the county, and then they released you?
No, I'll tell you what happened here. How I got out. No, they ain't released me like that. It wasn't that sweet, man. It wasn't that sweet at all. What happened was, I left prison, back to the county, fight my case over. And during the time, I had a good lawyer through the Innocence Project had me a good lawyer, and they knew some lawyers that would take my case. So they told them about it. And the good lawyer dropped on my case. And he's trying to get the DA to drop the whole case, dismiss, you know what I'm saying? And so I was in the county at that time. I was in the county 6 months, and I got granted a new trial. And I basically got granted a new trial. So my lawyer's trying to get the DA to drop it, and so I was waiting. And he came with a time served, a lesser charge, which don't carry more time than I already did, and so I get released. And I was like, hell no! I was like, hell no! I'm not taking that because I didn't do nothing. Like I'm not gonna have it on my record, none of that. So my lawyer kept on working and pushing for them to drop the case. And then, a month before trial, he came to me, my lawyer. He's like, he said, we did all we can do. He's like, I think we can win this. He said, I think we can win the case if he really takes it that far. But he's not trying to drop the case. He said he ready to just try you. He said he ready to give you this plea because he looked at it. The DA looked at it like, if he give me this plea, I get out. And if I go to trial, I get out. So it's like, whatever. But if I go to try and lose, I get life again. It would be a wrap, you know? So that's how the DA was looking at it, you know what I'm saying? So he didn't want to try my case. So I was like, damn, really, man? I was fucked up about that. I mean, excuse me, but I was messed up in the head, like, really, man? He want to play with my life? Like, the DA want to play with my life now? You know what I'm saying? He want to just drop the case. So I really thought about the whole thing, the possibilities, whatever, and I was just sick of the whole thing being incarcerated that long. And I was like, get it, man. I just took the time served, plea, lesser charge, plea, and got out. Because I didn't want to take no chance at no trial. Even though my lawyers told me I had a strong case and they can win, but he said, you never know with no jury. You never know what the jury would think. So he's like, you'd be taking a chance. And I was like, I thought about that. I was like, I really thought about that. And I already knew that I lost bogus the first time because I had public defender, and they based off a painted picture by the DA. And I was like, man, I'm not taking no chance where I can just get out and it's all be over. I'm saying I might have a little messy charge on my record, but at least I won't be in prison again. Because it's a possibility that I couldn't ever get this appeal warrant, you know? Gotta retrial. It's a possibility I could have still been in prison fighting for my life. I just thought about everything. It's a bigger picture, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I took the 63.
When did you get released?
June 2013.
What did that day mean to you?
I remember I was in the cell and we was on lockdown and because I already knew I was, you know, because I took the plea and everything. I took the plea, so I was waiting for them to release me, you know what I'm saying? So I just stayed there for the weekend because I went to court on Friday, so I just stayed there for the weekend, and then I had to wait then that following week. I remember like it was yesterday, man. I was sitting in the cell and they popped the doors, but we don't lie down, so nobody was in the bedroom or nothing. And they popped the door, they like, Malone, pack your shit. Just like that. They're like, Malone, you getting released. I was like, damn, but I was so happy, man. It really happened, man. Like, you know, so as I'm packing, he was like, just anxious to get up out of there, man. Like, and then as soon as I leave, so my first thought, like, I'm gonna call my mom, she let everybody know I'm out. So nobody knows, because they release you at random times in the county. They got specific hours they go by. They can release you, you know? And so I'm sorry, my mom, I'm so beat up, like, man. But I'm so happy when she's like, thankful for it, man. Like, you don't have to know, it's hard to explain, man. Like, something that I never felt before, you know? So as I'm leaving the county, I see my mom and her friend right there. The first people I see when I leave, and they, my mom just, you know how a mom loves her child, so she just hugged me, gave me a big hug, you know? I just felt like, man, and it was a nice summer day too, it was like June, so it was nice outside. Like, I was like,
what did you do the rest of that day? Did you go out to eat or anything? Hang out with family? What did you do?
Well, it was already probably like 7 o'clock at night when I got out. Like, so I ain't had that much time in the day. But I remember the NBA Finals was Miami versus Spurs. Where I had to hit that three in the corner. It was that same day I got out. You remember that? You recall that?
I do recall that.
You were right out and hit that three, saved them to go to overtime. That's the same night I got out. Cause I knew that game was on. And I went by my mom for a while, talked with her, and then one of my best friends that I grew up with as a kid, he was there for me. When I was in prison, he came to see me, come to see me, nothing. So I called him by my mom. And he was all geeked up, like, I know where you at. Like, yeah, I was out. So, yeah, I know you at. He just came and scooped me up, and he invited me to a restaurant spot. And I ate over there and watched the rest of the game. Yeah. So, it was just like an amazing feeling, man. Like, best thing in the world, but we always just like excited, you know, like you really got out. Like.
So, let me go back, you know. To when you got back. So you pled to a lesser offense to get out, right?
Yeah. Just because it was time served, it didn't carry no more time than I already did. So they had to release me.
So did they take that off your record, expunge your record?
No, I've been out for almost 5 years now. Uh-huh. No. No.
Ain't you still trying to fight that?
I don't know if I can fight that.
Okay, because you got the, you played
the game. I never played guilty. I just played no contact. So they get to say I'm guilty. If I say no contact, they say I'm guilty. So.
Okay, I get you.
That's the messed up thing, the part about it. Yeah, I'm thinking about, like, well, what if I went to trial? But I still think in my mind, like, of course, I still to this day would think, like, what if I did go to trial, like, and I won? You know what I'm saying? You know, will I have a lawsuit? I think about stuff like that. At the time that I did, all the emotions and all the mental thinking I had to do up in there, like, all the stuff, like, you know, they had to pay for that if I went to trial and won. I think about that. Like, if I would take that chance and went to trial and won, will I have lawsuit. I think about that, but I was like, I better off not taking that chance. I did take that chance.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Trust
that's
me.
That's the messed up thing about it. That's the messed up thing about it. It's still they have it on the record, man. But at the end of the day, it's better than being in prison for life for something you don't do still and not having no chance and no appeal.
Yeah. Hey, I get it, man. I was in your same situation, man. And I was like, man, if they come to me with some time right now, I just want to go home. I'll cop out to, you know, right now just to let me go home. But, you know, a lot of guys is in that situation. Even the West Memphis Three, you know, they did them guys the same way. They, you know, they didn't do their crime and they just wanted them to plead. So they just wanted a guilty plea. So, you know, they was able to get out and the DA was able to get that guilty plea. So, you know, I get what you're saying, man. It ain't. And what if you fight it and then you go back to prison and you get that life sentence and you got to stay in there, you know, longer fighting for your case? You know, I know why you did it. I understand why you did it.
Yeah. But say, just think of it like, say if I was like, man, forget that, I'm going all the way, you know, confident, you know what I'm saying? And I was confident in my case, because I knew, you know what I'm saying, but I didn't want to take no chance on that jury. And say if I would have took the chance on that jury, and I got convicted, you know what I'm saying, based off of nothing, I would have got convicted again, it would have been a wrap for me. I had to end the surprise on my case, but then I would have went to appeal again, yeah. I would never get back. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it.
So what are you doing with your life now?
I got a job, just working, man. Just working. Just trying to stay in shape. Just like, basically.
You and your family cool? Your siblings?
Well, I'm close to some than others, but we all good. I live in Milwaukee, and only family I really got here is my mom and my two brothers and a couple of nieces. I got people I grew up here with, but it's the same. It's like family. Most of my family is in Illinois, which I'm moving soon to.
What kind of work do you do?
Metal casting.
You just started that, right?
No, I've been doing that type of work for the last couple of years.
What job? Didn't you just start a job? You just started those long shifts?
Yeah, I just started another job, different job, better pay. It's the same type of work, though. It's better pay, so I went with it. It's just long shifts, 12-hour shifts. But it's not like we work Monday through Friday, 12-hour shifts. Like, you get a couple of days. You work for like a couple of days, then off a couple of days, then work a couple of days, but you still get like 48 hours in a week, you know?
Is there anything you would like to say about your life now, your family, your career, about anything?
Well, this time of my life, I just try to learn from people, learn from the past, and just try to do something straight. Stay positive, try to do something in my life. Additionally, meet the person for me, female-wise. But at the same time, I'm working on myself and try to save my money and get a good car. You get a good car, my own place. I stay with my brother right now. We got like half or so, but additionally get my own place. And that's hard too to try to get your own pay because with that, in certain areas, if I got that on my record, that can hold you back too. You feel me?
Yeah, I do.
And so that, so that was like a big hindrance on me having it on your record. Like, but it's just, I don't know, people still look at that, judge you, whatever, doing that the truth. But I just try to maintain, stay out the way. You know what I'm saying? Stay with more negativity. You know what I'm saying? Like, stay away from the police, you know. Don't give them no reason for people to come at me. Like, I don't even give them no reason to even talk to me. So, just try to just stay focused and positive and count my blessings.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all
definitely.
I do on a regular day. That's all I do on a regular day, man. Like, I'm just trying to get to where I want to be eventually. But, like I said, I want to move to Illinois. I'm moving to Illinois soon. With my older brother, we did try to do something different and start something new over here.
How do you feel PTSD has played a part in your life? Do you feel you were affected?
What did you say?
PTSD.
What's that?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
I don't know, man, but then, hey, keep it real with you, man, it's something about me, man. Look, I got a big heart, don't get me wrong. I got a big heart, I'm a good person, but at the same time, I think that, happens, thinking a lot and all that, prison, my experience, it made me, express myself, even more. Even if I'm mad, you know what I'm saying, I say crazy, I say something, hey, you know what I'm saying? I don't let it get physical or nothing, but it's I'm able to snap out or hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah, I said that syndrome is really actually post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a disorder. It affected me. That's why I asked you. I didn't know if you was affected by it, but it definitely affected me. Some people.
It made me more of a, like angry person though. Like had more anger in you. Like,
you think like, you're
more to snap out faster. That's why I think it is.
Do you think you have anger issues now?
No, not really, because I don't let it like get fit. I won't let it get violent enough, so I can't say that. But I say something crazy to somebody, like disrespectful to somebody, and not even care at the time, but I had no feelings towards it. You know what I'm saying? And then when I think about it later, I feel like I was wrong. You know what I'm saying? But I don't need to do that. It'd be situations like that, you know?
Do you ever apologize?
I usually never used to be like that. You know what I'm saying? I never used to be like that. They just talk crazy, like, and then come back and then just think about it, and then go apologize. I was never like that. Did not even do that. Yeah. I think that comes from a lot of like anger, like towards their situation. Yeah, it made me snap out or somebody kick it off. Over something. They did me wrong or anything, like do something bogus.
Some people don't realize, but prison really does affect you. You know, it affects everybody in different ways.
Yeah, it do in different ways.
How do you think your experience has changed your outlook on life? Your whole wrongful incarceration and all that.
How
do you think the experience of being incarcerated, how do you think that changed your life, your outlook on life?
Like I was saying, like, it made me have more of an attitude than I used to have. Like I'd get mad, like I say something hurtful to somebody, be respectful. Like I said, I never used to be like that. You know what I'm saying? I think that made me be like that. Being there for somebody, do I have to be mad? But like I said, I did things to occupy my time, but I had my moments, you know what I'm saying? You had your days and your moments when you do your chance in your head, you know? So I think that made me like a little more bitter.
If somebody reached out to you and said that they wanted to help you and they want you to go to some counseling classes, would you be up for it?
Yeah, I would. It would, but like I said, I'm going to move around. I'm going to move to Illinois so that somebody can get that from where I'm going to be at.
Yeah.
From where I'm going to be, because I don't know nothing about that over there. So.
What advice do you have to anyone who might have been wrongly convicted of a crime that's in prison right now, that was in that position that you was in, I was in, that's trying to get out? Do you have any advice for them people?
Well, I'm going to say, like, people handling things differently, my advice would be just try to occupy your time and take advantage of education they got in there and try to stay focused on your appeal, keep fighting hard, and stay confident. You know, just stay focused and do things to occupy your time. So you guys have to think about the situation ahead. But at the end of the day, if you stretch yourself away, the situation not going to change. You still got to fight, you know what I'm saying? So my advice would be to keep fighting, stay strong, occupy your time, and help you take your own mind off this situation as much as possible.
What do you think the listeners could do to help someone who has been wrongly convicted?
Like give advice, like give them advice and show some sympathy, some empathy. Both. That helps somebody that's fighting a situation. They see the support. Like that can help even more, but people that support in that situation, people behind them, that help even more with people that are a good support team. And if you don't, that makes it even harder.
Well, that's all the questions I have. Do you have anything you want to say?
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to be on the show and tell y'all about my experience in life.
Like I said, DeMarco and I have been struggling to get our schedules together, and we know that we'll have at least one more episode at the end of this month, so we'll keep you posted. I'm Brooke. Until next time, thank you so much for listening.